This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
We're going to be in Genesis 37, if you want to go ahead and flip there in your word. But a thought I had this week while I was putting this together is that whenever I was young and growing up, I kind of had a dream of what I wanted to do with my life. Some of you may not know, I've always played drums. I don't really play these days because, thank God, we have some incredible drummers in our church. My son is a phenomenal drummer himself. But, of course, whenever I was young in elementary, junior high, high school, I wanted to hit it big. Did anybody else have dreams like that? Maybe you wanted to be a pro athlete. Maybe you wanted to be an author. Maybe you wanted to be an actress, something like that. Well, I wanted to, you know, play in arenas and live on a tour bus, and obviously it didn't work out for me. What about your dream? Maybe what you thought about whenever you were young, what you wanted to be, did it work out for you? There's a really good chance that maybe it didn't, right? But here's something I want us to get today. Every person has a God-given dream, and that's our calling, right? But God also gives us a purpose, and y'all, that's our destiny. That's our destiny. But sadly, so many people, they live with the dream, but they never actually get to the destiny that God has for them. So today, if you're here today, and you feel like you have no idea what God's plan for your life is, maybe you're here today and you feel like you've had a dream from God, but it's going nowhere in a hurry. Or maybe you're here today and you feel like you know people, and you say, man, those people really seem to be walking in the destiny that God has for them, but why isn't it happening for me? If you can say yes to any of those three, I want you to be here in the coming weeks, because today we're starting a new series that we're calling Joseph Dreams to Destiny. And I want us to all know that God has dreams for us all. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, God has a dream for you. And I want you to know that God has a destiny for you as well, for all of us. And in the coming weeks, we're going to discover how we can get to that destiny that God has for us. Now, whenever we look in the Bible, Joseph, of course, you read about him in the Old Testament in Genesis, but Joseph had a dream from God whenever he was 17. He actually had a couple dreams. But Joseph was 30 before he actually stepped into the beginning of the fulfillment of that destiny that God has for his life. So it was a bit of a process that he had to go through. And the reason many people haven't stepped into their destiny, though, is because of character issues. Oh, don't shout me down now, character issues. You know, that can prevent us from getting where we're supposed to go if we don't have character. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at a number of character tests that Joseph had to pass so that he could go from that place of having a dream and getting to the destiny that God had for him. Unfortunately, we all have to pass the same test that Joseph passed to be able to get to our destiny. But I want you to know it's possible for us to do it. Amen? It's going to be possible for us to do it. We all have dreams. We all have dreams for our families, for our careers, for our finances. But in the coming weeks, I just want to ask you to allow God to just stir in you the dream that he has for you. Y'all ready to go with us today? Yes. Amen. Well, listen, I've been feeling like we needed to talk about Joseph for a while. But whenever you read Joseph's story, there's so much to it. It wasn't one of these things that I just wanted to like do in a Sunday, right? Because I felt like, man, we can really get a lot out of this. A while back, I bought a book called Dreams of Destiny. It's phenomenal. Regina was at a conference, and she called me, and she said, Gene, I feel like the Lord's saying, we've got to do a series on Joseph. I'm like, I just started working on it, you know, because I'd been going through that book, and it was such good material that I want to share with y'all today. So are we ready to get into this today? All right, well, look, let's get into it. Genesis 37, starting in verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Let's stop right there just for a minute. Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. These two that were just mentioned right there, Bilhah and Zilpah, were their servants that they gave to Jacob. Jacob had a total of 12 children with the four women, which would represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Verse 3. Now Israel, that's also Jacob, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made him an ornate robe, or maybe your translation says a coat of many colors. He made this ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. A little bit of jealousy going on there, right? Verse 5, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen, guys, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Now, you know, whenever you've got your 17-year-old brother and you're in your 20s and 30s, you probably loved hearing this from your little brother, right? It says they couldn't stand him, and then he has to come and talk about this dream. Then they said to him, verse 8, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Verse 9, then Joseph had another dream. And he went and he told his brothers all over again. Isn't this great? The 17-year-old just sticking it to him one more time. Isn't this great? "Listen," he said, "I had another dream." And I bet they were like, yippee. "And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars," remember he had 11 siblings, "were bowing down to me." When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and he said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now we read here in Genesis 37, Joseph had a couple of dreams. But obviously, besides having dreams, I think we can all say that Joseph maybe had a little bit of a pride issue as well. Can we agree with that today? Earlier I mentioned that Joseph had to pass some character tests before he could ever get to the destiny that God had for him. And here's what I want us to understand. His first test that he had to pass was what we're going to call the pride test. And so that's what we're going to look at today, the pride test. Joseph had a dream, and I want everyone here to understand right out the gate, number one, God has a dream for you today. God has a dream for you today. That's good news, amen? Now, the dream that Joseph had, it was from God, but his bragging, his talking about it, was not from God. It was not from God. A lot of times, whenever Regina and I, whenever we speak on purpose and God's plan, because those are actually topics that we love to talk to people about, people often ask, "Pastor Gene, how is it that we can know God's plan for our life?" Or maybe you're asking, "Pastor Gene, how is it that I can know God's dream for my life?" Well, we see in Scripture what the Lord said in Numbers 12, verse 6. He says, "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face." You know, the children of Israel, it says in the word that they knew the Lord's acts, but it says that Moses knew his ways. I want somebody to hear me today. If you want to know God's plan for your life, if you want to know God's dream for your life, you need to get to know God. You need to get to know God. Too many people, they chase the dream rather than the dream giver. And whenever you chase him, then he's going to reveal to you what it is that he has for your life. Be faithful. Go after God. Serve him. He'll reveal it to you and he'll fulfill it in your life as well. Amen? But God spoke to Moses as a friend. And then Jesus said this in John 15, 15, which is great news for all of us. He said, "I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." He calls us friends. We're friends of God. "For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." That's good news, isn't it? He's made known to us. A lot of times, people, whenever we kind of talk about this subject, they'll say, "Okay, so what does it look like? If God has a dream for my life, what might that be? And what might the destiny look like?" A lot of times, people feel like, you know, callings and that sort of thing have to do with like pulpit ministry, being on the mission field. I just want to tell you that's only about 5% of the body of Christ at max, right? But for the other 95%, a lot of times they want to know, Pastor Gene, what does that look like? So can I give you all some examples today of like some dreams? Is that possible? Yes. Overwhelming. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that today. So let's just, here's an example of a dream. Pastor Gene, I feel called to start a business with integrity. That sounds good, doesn't it? Like, don't we want to work with businesses that have integrity, business people that have integrity, right? So the destiny could be that you build a company and you are able to bless your employees and you model kingdom values and you're able to fund ministry. Now that's a positive thing, and there are companies like that out there. There are small businesses like that out there. Just as a heads up, y'all, marketplace influence is huge. It really impacts the kingdom. In the same way that the pulpit impacts the kingdom, so does marketplace influence. Maybe your dream is, Pastor Gene, I'd love to write or create media that helps point people to Jesus. That's awesome. That's awesome. I was telling our first service this morning, you know, media has actually become like a big thing in church. Like, we're using it more than ever. Now, only a few of y'all were with us whenever we were back at our old building before we ever built this church. Literally, there's probably about a half dozen of y'all here that were part of that. Let me just tell you how high-tech we were back then. You want to know how you created media in our old church? Whoever had the best penmanship wrote on the clear overhead transparency thing, you know, like where you put it on the projector. Come on, y'all saw those in school, right? Your teacher used them. Y'all, that was how we did video back then. And let me just tell you, a month before we moved into this church, like we were building it, we were doing a video series on Wednesday nights, and we had a TV that was about this big by this big, but it weighed as much as a boat anchor, sat on a chair, and we were all gathered around it watching this video series. And whenever we moved in here and saw this baby, we thought we had died and gone to heaven, let me just tell you. And we felt big time, right? But media is an important part of church, but maybe you'd love to write or create media that points people to Jesus. So you use those creative gifts. This is the destiny that awaken hearts, whether it's photography or books or music that you create or graphic design or video. Listen, that could be the destiny based on what God's, you know, gifted you to do. Maybe you say, Pastor Gene, I have this dream. I just want to be faithful in some ways that may seem like a background role in church, and maybe they seem small, but I just want to be faithful. That's the dream I have. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Praise God, because those are big roles. I mean, whenever you steward small opportunities in the local church and whenever you do it well, it impacts others. It allows for life transformation. It allows for people to come in who are broken to get put back together based on the work that the Lord's doing in their life. And you had a part in that, amen? We've had a number of decisions that people have made to follow Jesus just in the last few weeks. And we try to tell our dream team, every one of y'all participated in that, amen? And so whenever you serve, it means so much. And that can be, I mean, that's how God can use you. But here's something I want you to get today, that God's dream for you, it's unique. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's unique. And every dream that he gives, it's woven into a bigger purpose. And y'all, ultimately, it's for people to come back to him. It's for people to know him as Lord and Savior. That's ultimately what the dream is all about, for people coming back to him. But we've got to be careful. Because a lot of times we kind of have our own selfish dreams, you know, our own plans that we want to accomplish in life. And if we don't watch it, we'll go down that road rather than going down the road he has for us. And so we'll never get to that destiny that he has for us. And sometimes people just have this attitude of, well, this is just what I want to do. And you can do your own thing. You can. But it's not going to work out nearly as well for you as whenever you do what God has for you. Some people will say, well, Pastor Gene, doesn't God want you? Pastor Gene, doesn't God want me to be happy? Yeah, he does. And I can promise you this, whenever you do what he's called you to do, you'll be happier than you could ever be. Amen. Come on, I mean, it's the truth, than you could ever be. I had a plan for my life while I was in college. My undergrad's in marketing, then I've got an MBA on top of that. And so while I was in business school, I figured out what I wanted to do, who I wanted to work for, so I had career plans, and it would have had me in a completely different field with different people and all this sort of thing. And so I kind of had plans of what I wanted to do. But it's funny how whenever I got out of school, the Lord just started working on me. And then all of a sudden, my desires started to change a little bit. My heart started to change a little bit. And then I just started to get more and more interested in the local church. And my father, who started the church, just really supporting him as much as I could to help Church Alive just really start to move in a positive direction. And it was the Lord that worked on my heart, because a lot of y'all knew me back then. And if you would have said, "Pastor Gene, do you want to preach?" I'd have been like, "No, you know, wasn't really interested in that." But he started working on me. And then whenever the time came and we said, "Yes, Lord, this is what we'll do," even though we were as nervous as we could be, and we felt like we were not qualified, whenever we stepped into it, it wasn't necessarily the easiest thing we've ever done, but looking back, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Amen. Wouldn't have changed a thing. I had a friend this week ask me, and he's a very good friend, he said, "How are you?" And he said, "No, really, how are you?" Like he wanted me to just sit down and get real with him. And I said, "Man, I'm good." And I just started just talking to him about what God's doing in our lives. And you know, a lot of times whenever people ask us guys how we're doing, we just say we're fine. That's just like the way we just respond to everything. You know, you could be in ICU, "How's your health?" "Oh, it's fine." Right? I mean, it's like, no, you're obviously not fine. You know, how's life? "Well, my house is burning down, but we're fine." You know, it's just always fine. I didn't even want to just say I'm fine, because we're better than that. Because God's blessing us. And I truly think it's because we're doing what God's called us to do. God wants you happy, but I want you to know your plan will never bring you happiness like his plan will bring you. Somebody needs to hear that today. Some of you, you've got these aspirations. You've got these things you want to go after. You feel like you've got these talents. Let me tell you, the Lord wants to use your talents. The Lord wants to use your giftings to do something greater than what you want to do. Somebody needs to hear that today. He can use it in a way that will bring people back to him. Amen? So there you go. Put your dream on the shelf. Do what he has for your life. So you can know what the dream God has for you is by getting to know the Lord. And after you get the dream, the second thing that we need to understand is that we don't need to brag about the dream. We don't need to brag about it. And again, we're talking about pride today. The dream will lead you to God's destiny, but pride will prohibit you from getting there. A lot of times, people will approach pastors, and you know, I've talked to pastor friends and they get this, and people will want to tell the pastors what their calling in life is and how God has called them. As a heads up, Romans 1 says every one of us are called, all right? So just so you know, you're all called. But with that said, pastors normally aren't very impressed whenever somebody comes up and says, "Well, I'm called." Well, congratulations. What they want to see is somebody who's faithful to the Lord. What they want to see is somebody who's faithful to the local church. My dad used to have this statement whenever people, you know, had an interest in leading or something like that. He'd say, "I want to be able to smell your sweat. I want to smell your sweat." Because too many people, they want to lead or they want a title or something like that, but they don't want to get in and do the work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know those people? There's a lot of good talk in there, but they're not backing it up, right? And so we need to remain faithful to the Lord. We need to remain faithful to the house of God as well. And I want to just say this. You'll never fully walk in the calling that God has for your life without being connected to a local church body. I'm going to say it one more time, because that was a lot better than what y'all just gave me back. You'll never truly fully walk into your calling that God has for you without being connected to a local church body. Hebrews 10:25 says that we need to be connected to a local church body. You don't just leapfrog that step and go from sitting at the house to the platform, or from just, you know, sitting and not participating and just spectating and going to the platform or going to a leading position. It doesn't work that way. Think about what Jesus' disciples had to do. They walked with Jesus. They did all kinds of stuff before the day of Pentecost ever came, and then they were out there turning the world upside down. Come on, somebody. There was work involved, and so you need to be connected. You need to be truly rooted and planted in a local church serving. But Joseph's brothers, it says that they hated him, and they really hated him after he shared the dreams with them. And today we're, as I said, talking about the pride test. Now, whenever we think about Joseph's story, and whenever we think about the pride test, I think we could probably all agree that Joseph probably flunked that test. Can we agree? I mean, here he was, the young brother, and he goes and he tells them all about it. They hate him, and he's like, hold on, round two's coming. Y'all gather around. Let me tell you the newest dream. And so we could probably say Joseph flunked that test, but here's some really good news for everybody today. Whenever we fail a test, God doesn't just put an F on our paper and say, you're out of here, you flunked, you failed out. You know what he does? He's like, retake it. He gives us an opportunity to retake it because that's just how good our God is. Aren't you glad that whenever you mess up, he doesn't just say, okay, I'm done with you, I can't use you? No, he gives you an opportunity to take it over. Why? Because he wants you to get to that destiny that he has for you. Now, I'm going to shoot you straight. Sometimes I don't want to retake a test. I don't want to be like, I'd just rather not have to go through this again, Lord. But whenever we mess up, he gives us an opportunity to retake that test because, again, he wants us to be able to get to our destiny. But why is it, though, as humans, why do we brag? That's a question that I want us to think about just for a minute. Why do we brag? The answer is pretty simple. It's because we have pride in our heart. We have pride in our heart. In Matthew 12:34, it says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, if you look at the NIV version. What's here is going to come out of here. And if pride's in there, it's going to come out. It's what happens. The mouth's going to speak it. Pride always has to have a voice. Pride always wants to be heard. Pride always wants to give its opinion. Pride always wants to interrupt others because the prideful person feels as though their opinion is more important than the other person. That's just the way pride is. And again, we've got to deal with this pride issue or else we're never going to get to that destiny that God has for us. The word says that Joseph brought a bad report about his brothers to his father. And this is before he ever had any dream. So he was a tattletale early on. And then, of course, he was bragging. And so he had a problem with his mouth, which means that he had a problem with his heart. And God gave Joseph this dream of his brothers bowing down. But I want y'all to just listen for a minute. The brothers bowing down in the dream, that was not Joseph's destiny. Hear me. That was not the destiny for Joseph. The destiny was ultimately for him to be part of saving a nation. Come on, somebody. You see, years down the road, the Lord knew that there was this famine that was coming. And the Lord saw Joseph, and the Lord said, this man right here can be used to help save a nation. And by the way, it didn't just save a nation, it saved his own family, if you remember. So the destiny wasn't for the brothers to bow down. And so you may have had a dream, you know, something that you feel like the Lord's dropped in you, and in that dream it may be that you are great. I want you to understand this. That's not God's purpose for your life. It's not just about you being great. It's for people to ultimately come to him and to be used so that people come to know the Lord. Amen? And as we mature in the Lord tends to give us greater influence. But y'all, the influence isn't for our benefit. It's for his purposes. It's for his purposes. And the dream from God, it's not the same as the destiny. We need to understand that today. It simply starts us on the path to maturity so that we can handle the destiny. So that we can handle it. Because here's the thing, if we can't be humble with the dream, if we can't handle the dream, then we can't handle the destiny. So we're never going to have it as a result. Does that make sense today? We've got to be humble with it. We've got to be able to handle it so that we can walk in it. So again, for us to move from our dream to our destiny, we've got to believe God that he has a dream for us. In addition to that, we don't need to brag about it. We just need to be faithful to him. And then number three is this, is that we need to deal with the root of pride. We need to deal with the root of pride. Now, by show of hands, how many of y'all have ever dealt with pride before? Okay, good. If your neighbor didn't, look at them and say you're dealing with pride right now, if they didn't raise their hand, right? Okay, by show of hands, now that we've all just gotten honest, how many of y'all have dealt with pride more than once? Okay, so here's the thing. A lot of times, we can all have pride issues. Can we just get real? Right? We can have pride issues. A lot of times, what we do is we deal with the fruit, and we don't deal with the root of pride. Let me explain just for a minute. I could say something very prideful to Elder Curley, for instance. And I could have just said something that I shouldn't have said, and then the Lord convicts me of it, and I go to him the next day and I say, hey, what I said was awful. That was pride. I was wrong for it. Would you please forgive me? And he and I could be good. And so on the inside, we feel like, hey, we're good to go. We took care of that, right? Or maybe if we find that we say a lot of prideful things and we're just saying too many prideful things, you know, throughout the day, we think the solution is just zip our lips and just shut our mouth. That's just dealing with the fruit of it. We got to get to the root of it so that it's not coming out of our mouths. Does that make sense today? Well, here's the thing. Insecurity is the root of pride. Insecurity is the root of pride. We need to understand that. Insecure people, they have pride in their heart. Insecure people have pride in their heart. And so we have to continually be on guard, knowing that at any point, pride can pop up. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Anytime we have a new challenge, or even whenever we have more responsibilities, it's very easy for us to get insecure. Let's think about this just for a minute. If you're at work and your boss says, hey, I'd now like you to oversee this, and it could be like a promotion, which is a good thing, right? But all of a sudden, you may be questioning yourself like, can I really do this? Do I have what it takes to be able to walk in this role, to be able to have that title? Maybe you've been asked here at Church Alive, hey, would you consider leading a small group, or would you consider overseeing this or this or whatever it is? And you think to yourself, can I really do this? Am I cut out for this? That's insecurity, isn't it? Right? That's insecurity. Now, the way that we get over insecurity is not by being more confident in ourselves. Right? Because we can look in the mirror like Stuart Small and be like, I'm good enough. What is it? I'm smart enough and doggone it, people like me. Is that what he said? You know, Saturday Night Live. We can try to pump ourselves up and try to build ourselves up like, I can do this. That's not how we fix the insecurity. What we have to realize is the way that we deal with our insecurity is having more confidence in Jesus and not in ourselves. Having more confidence in him. Because whenever we have confidence in him and whenever we know who we are in him, then all of a sudden it starts to change how we are on the inside. Do y'all remember whenever Satan told Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, this is whenever Jesus had gone to the wilderness. And Satan's there talking with him and he says, if you're the Son of God, and he goes on to rattle something else off. You know, something very interesting there is that Jesus never responded to that statement. And it was a ridiculous statement because we know that Jesus was the Son of God, but he didn't have to respond because he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He didn't just have to say, well, I am too the Son of God. No, Satan knew who he was, and then Jesus knew who he was. And that's how we deal with insecurity. We have to come to the place of knowing that we're children of God. Truly knowing that we're children of God. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. No. It's by his grace. It's by his grace that we've been saved. Now, I got to say this. I've struggled with insecurity in my life. Can anybody just get real for a minute? Have y'all struggled with insecurity? And it's easy to struggle with it every day, isn't it? Because you can get around a certain group of people and then all of a sudden you feel like you don't fit. Y'all been there before. Just getting real open with you. Whenever we stepped into this role as pastors, and I think this is something a lot of pastors struggle with is all of a sudden there's this comparison thing that you can deal with. You know, you can leave your church service, pass by another church that's got a lot more cars in the parking lot, and you're like, what am I doing wrong? You know, and all of a sudden then the enemy just starts to just give you all these great statements like, you're the worst, you never should have done this, that was a mistake. And that's insecurity. That's what we deal with. Maybe whenever you're at work at times, you're around certain people, or maybe whenever you're at the ball field, you're around some of your kids, friends, parents, and you feel like, man, I just don't fit with these folks. That's insecurity that we deal with. Come on, can somebody get real with me today? Have y'all ever felt it before? But here's how we have to deal with insecurity. We've got to understand that we're children of the King. Do you hear me? We are children of the Creator of the earth. We're children of the King. And whenever we do that, whenever we know that, whenever we're secure in that, then that deals with our insecurity. And then whenever we know where we came from, and whenever I say that, whenever we remember how we were so lost, whenever we remember that without Jesus, we were hell-bound, and whenever we remember that He gave His life for us because He loved us and He'd do it over again for us, whenever we remember how much He loved us and how He saved us out of that old life of ours, then what that does is that deals with our pride issue. That deals with our pride issue. I want you to know today, God has a dream and a destiny for every one of us. Every one of you in this room. You may feel like, no, there's no way with me. I don't qualify. No, He has a dream for you. He has a destiny for every one of us. But if we ever want to see that fulfillment, if we ever want to walk into the fulfillment of the destiny, we've got to get past our pride issue. And we do that by knowing whose we are. Amen. Come on, if you will, just bow your heads today with me this morning. Just close your eyes for a moment. Lord, we thank You that You are the dream giver. God, that You have a dream for every one of us here today. And Father, we need Your help to overcome insecurity. Lord, we need Your help to overcome pride in our lives, Lord. Father, remind us just how much You love us, how You're our loving Father. Lord, we need to remember that we're Yours. And Lord, that deals with our insecurity issues, God. Whenever we remember that we're Yours, God, whenever we remember what You've done for us, Father, where we were and where You brought us to, God, that deals with our pride issue as well. And Father, I just pray that there's a hunger that's just stirred up, Lord, in our entire church, God, and everyone here, Father, that they're going to seek after You, Lord, to get to know You in the same way that Moses did, Lord. Lord, the way You spoke to him, You called him friend, God. Lord, we thank You that we're Your friends. Lord, we're Your children. Lord, we thank You that You'll reveal to us what Your dream is for our lives. And God, we'll just press into You, Lord. Lord, we'll just have clarity whenever it comes to that. Father, remind us that it's not about our own happiness either. Lord, too many times we're just focused on our happiness. But God, as Your kids, Lord, we want to help, Lord, to tell the world about what You've done for us. And so God, the dream, God, the destiny that You have for us, Lord, it's ultimately about those, God, who are broken to be put back together. Lord, it's about those who don't know You to come and know You as Savior, Father. So Lord, help us to remember what it's all truly about. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody say amen today. Hey, listen, this week, I want to just encourage you, just seek God. Ask Him to start to reveal His dream that He has for your life. Amen. And as you just continue to seek Him, He's going to do it. Amen. Come on, give God some praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.